As we prepare to hear God speak to us through the Holy Scriptures, will you join me in our prayer of illumination, and in one voice, let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your Scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. I invite you to stand in body or spirit as I read from the Gospel according to Luke from the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 11. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets, and he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and then asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, on this Sunday, as we continue to journey through the Gospel of Luke, who truly did the homework to give the most accurate representation of the life and ministry of Jesus, we come to hear what you would have us hear, to be instructed in the ways that lead to true life. And when sometimes there are obstacles or we are challenged of how to do this well, we come. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, we are renewed. We are refreshed and reminded of who you are and who we are and how we collectively live this life together. And so in the power of the Holy Scripture and through my humble words and the collective meditations of our hearts, may they truly point to you and to your glory alone. And it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. So this morning, we are continuing in the Gospel according to Luke. And let me just put this into context. So we began with teaching in the synagogue. And last week, we talked about how just the words of Jesus claiming that the Scriptures had been fulfilled was enough to turn the crowd of his hometown from really happy to really mad in a very few short minutes, so much so that they wanted to just push Jesus off a cliff, and he just passed right through. And after that, Jesus did some healing. There was someone who was overcome by unclean spirits, and Jesus cast out those evil spirits. And then he went to Simon's house, and Simon's mother-in-law had been overtaken by fever, and Jesus healed her of her fever. And see, the news of how Jesus was interacting with the people was traveling, and Jesus was gathering this crowd behind him because they had witnessed the goodness of Jesus, the healing, the teachings. But Jesus was very focused on going out to find those who would help him share the truth of the gospel into the world. And so he comes up, and can you imagine coming up to the shoreline of came to the water. And he saw that the boats had already been pulled ashore, right? And they were cleaning their nets. And Jesus asked Simon, you know, we just heard this, hey, push this boat out. And Jesus gets in the boat, and he gets into a place where he can really kind of see the expansiveness. Have you ever been like ankle deep in the ocean water, and you turn around and you look back at the beach, and you just realize how far it extends? And you can see there, and then you wonder, who's up there that can see me standing in the water? Do they even care that I'm standing here? But Jesus cared, sitting in that boat, that the crowd was there, and he talked to them, and he preached to them. And after giving this instruction, he then turned to Simon and said, hey, I want you to go out and put your nets back out. Now, I know if I had worked an overnight shift and I was at the end of that and ready to go home and I was wrapping up and I'm like, woohoo, I'm almost out of here. And someone says, oh, by the way, I need you to do X, Y, and Z. How many of you would do that with a happy heart or with a smile on your face? Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, you're at the end and you're like, I am done. Stick a fork in me. I am ready to go home and put on soft pants and have a cup of tea, right? And Simon said, Jesus, we've done this already. Like, let me give you the recount of how successful we were just 5 minutes ago. We didn't catch a darn thing out there in the water. And you want us to throw the nets out again? Like, that's the end of the shift talking where I'm really like, I'm done. And they do. And they cast that net out. And not only did they catch a little bit, y'all, how much did they catch? A whole lot that they were starting to sink the boat. And it was so much that they had to call their partners to say, hey, put your boat in the water. We have hit the mother load of fish right here. Come on, right? And then both of the boats are so overcome with fish that they are just amazed and realize that there is something about Jesus. And Jesus says, this isn't anything. What you see right now is just a small iota of a glimpse of what we're really going to do. That we are going to touch lives of people so numerous. That is our mission. And then they dropped what they were doing, and they followed Jesus. Like, they just walked away from it. Like, how many of us just walk away from what we do every day and take a complete 180 and start doing something different because Jesus has called us to something different? I'm looking around, and I'm guessing probably not a lot of us. And even if we did, I'm pretty sure that we would do the same thing that Simon Peter did, said, Jesus, I can't. I'm tired. I'm at the end of my ropes. I got to mend this net. Like, maybe tomorrow I'll give it a shot. But they listened to the call of Jesus. For those of you who know, we typically run in what's called a revised common lectionary. It's a wonderful tool. It's a 3-year cycle, and each year has a different gospel focus. And the idea is that if you read all 4 readings every week, an Old Testament, a Psalm, a gospel text, and an epistle, you're going to hit 80 to 85% of scripture over the course of 3 years, right? And most of those readings are well connected to each other, and sometimes they just don't make a lot of sense. But if you look at this week's text and hold the Gospel of Luke's passage in context with the other ones, You hear the call story of Jeremiah. I am a man of unclean lips. And with a coal touched to his lips, his mouth is made right to proclaim on behalf of God to the people. Did I say that right? Are we in Jeremiah? Is that Jeremiah or is that Isaiah? I don't remember either. But anyway, one of the prophets, and I'm teaching the prophets, telling you, words are hard today. But it is a call story. And then if you read the epistle, it is Paul's call story to say, I was a zealot fighting against Jesus. And yet here I am. And this is what has come because I answered that call. So sometimes we think that calls are reserved for people, unfortunately, like me, right? Called to be leaders of the church, called to ordain ministry. I'm looking at you, Pastor Amy, and knowing that, you know, I willingly mentor individuals who are discerning this call of like, I feel like God's calling me to full-time ordained ministry. And I say, are you really sure? Are you sure? Is there not anything else that you could do and feel okay? Because you better make darn sure that what you're doing truly is from God. And then they get 7 to 10 years to prove, yeah, you know, actually it is from God. And here are the 200 pages that I've written and the gazillion of videos I've submitted and the interviews that I've had. But there's this calling of inner affirmation and outer affirmation, right? So when we think about that from a Methodist perspective and we tie that in with the beauty of grace, that prevenient grace is what is working within us that convicts us of the fact that we realize that we are sinful people and are in need of salvation that can only be found through Christ Jesus. Right? It is that inner working and that call to live a life different than before. And particularly to live a life in the model and work and ministry of Jesus. Which means that we are paying attention to the people around us. Who is hungry? Who is sick? Who is lonely? Who is imprisoned? Who is on the outskirts and the margins of society that are overlooked by others, because those are the people that Jesus went to in his work and ministry. Then you have the outer affirmation, that I'm living my life and now I'm seeing how the Holy Spirit is working through my interactions in the world, and it's what we call bearing fruit, right? If I say fruit of the Spirit, we see how the Holy Spirit is working through us. And the characteristics that people may see in us are a direct connection to the fact that we've embodied God's grace and are living a life differently. And so they're going to see from us joy and love and peace, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, steadfastness in the face of challenges in our lives. Now, there are more, and it comes from Galatians. And looking at Reagan, I'm not putting you on the spot, because sometimes I'll ask her, what are the fruit of the Spirit, right? Goodness, kindness, generosity. And there is this inner work, and it is outwardly manifest, and it is all because we answered the call of whom? Jesus. So just like Simon and Peter and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who dropped everything that they were doing to follow Jesus, sometimes that's what we're called to do. And I'm not going to just say sometimes. I'm going to say that is what we're called to do. So the question comes to this. What do you need to drop, let go of, in order to faithfully answer that call? And all of us may have different things that have to do with that. right? Because you can answer that call in your line of work and see and have your mind shift that that is holy work. It might mean that the mindset of not paying attention to what is going on around you, might need to let that go in order to shift your view and perspective to pay attention to who Jesus cared for. It might mean instead of having a scarcity mindset, let me flush that out for you. I don't have enough, so I better hold on really tight to what I do have. And then I need to get more and hold on to that. Because we're afraid to lose what we have. We may need to let go of that. We may need to let go of the grand plans that we have, whether it be here in this church or in our community, that if it does not serve and point to God, it is probably not what we are called to do. Challenging words coming to us as we would sit on that shoreline thinking, can this guy in a boat truly change my life like that? I will be attending, going, enjoying, and I kind of wish Miss Kathy was in here. I'll be going to the Tyler Childers concert in April, which I'm super excited about. I know, fun. And as I don't know, are y'all this type of people that if you're going to go to a concert, you want to be able to sing every song so you start listening to all the music so it's like in your soul, in your mind, right? So I'm doing that. And I heard this, and I believe it comes from Tyler Childers, 2011, I think it's Bottles and Bibles. He has a song called The Gospel According to Fishermen. And copyright Hickman Holler Songs, LLC. And I was struck by how he ends the song, saying, saying, because it doesn't have the apostrophe, saying, shall we gather by the water, the beautiful water? Shall we gather by the water that flows from the throne of God? Shall we gather by the water, the beautiful water? Shall we gather by the water that flows from the throne of God? Friends, Jesus has put a call out to us, and it is by the waters of our baptism that flow from the throne of God that empowers and equips us to answer and live into that call. That is our challenge today. That is our reminder to live a life reflective of the goodness and grace of God, to come to the edges of that water, in this case, the Sea of Genesis. No. Thank you. Yes. It's not the Sea of Galilee, and that's what I want to say. It's Genesis. Yeah, no. It's like trying to say arugula, but no. But you get my meaning here, right? And I don't think it's just dip your toes in the water. I think you go all in, trusting that the water of God is flowing through you and us for the goodness and transformation of the world through Christ Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.